have your fear, which might become reality. And you have Godzilla, which is reality.
Well, this is it. Welcome to YHS on Monster Island. This is episode, 1.5, 1, episode 2. I don't know if that other one really matters. I'm Jacob Walsh, and with me, as he always will be, is my host and friend, Jake. Jay, how are you feeling in this aftermath of Godzilla versus Kong?
It's been a pretty light week. Not a whole lot going on in the world of kaiju. But first and foremost, it's an honor to be with our heralded host, the Highness of the Heisei and the head honcho of the Hollow Earth, Mr. Jacob Walsh.
Dude, I love these names you got going.
I had some for Craig and Abby, but you know what? Hey, they're not here. They're lost.
They don't deserve them.
Amen. But yes, it's... Wow. It's funny. I like episode one, since Godzilla is monster one. This can be episode one, because
for sure
we get to talk a lot about Godzilla today. Holy cow.
We do. Yeah. First of all, I just want to say, like, for people who are finding this show or whatever, since this is really early on, basically what this is, YHS is the Yes Have Some podcast, which I've been a part of for the last 5 years. And, we decided to branch out. Sometimes I can't talk about Godzilla with Craig and Abby because they just don't know what I'm talking about. Like, I love talking to them about everything and even about the Godzilla stuff, but sometimes I just can't. And then Jay, you entered our lives this year. And, last year, 2 years ago, however long it was.
Time's an illusion these days.
Yeah. And then, we sat down and we had some, I quickly found out this guy knows his stuff.
Yeah, I think our first conversation back in Atlanta, whenever that was, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago,
yeah,
was, I know we talked a lot about Godzilla's Revenge. I think we even talked a little bit about Godzilla versus Megalon, because I know that's near and dear to your heart. Little Godzilla 1985 and stuff. And it was fun because, I am approaching 40. And, I don't know if I've ever had a close personal friend throughout my life that's ever really loved Godzilla movies and kaiju. They might be aware of them. They might humor me and watch some, but like to really have a conversation with a real life person in the flesh, not over the internet, was an interesting experience for me. And because I've always been, and I'm going to steal one of your lines, Jake, if it's okay. I've always been kind of on the fringe of the Godzilla community. I haven't done the G-Fests and all that stuff. It just has never necessarily appealed to me, but it was kind of cool. And I was like, now I'm like, hey, of course I wanted to go this year and it gets canceled.
Yeah.
But dude, yeah, it's great.
I feel the exact same way. I've also never really had anybody I could get deep into with Godzilla. And, I have, some people here and there, who have knowledge of, certain things, but, I've also never been to G-Fest. I've always wanted to, but it's one of those things. It's like, I don't want to go to Chicago to a convention by myself and nobody cares. I've talked to Craig and Abby and I'm like, hey guys, you want to go to a Godzilla convention? And they're like, not really. So,
well, hey, YHS on Monster Island. Well, next year will be YHS at G-Fest because
what? If G-Fest still, if JD Lee's is cool and it's still around, we'll go.
Yeah. Hey, we might have to make our own, man.
We don't have to get Godzilla political in the first episode.
And 100%. And the other thing, Jake, I think is cool is it's not just about, diving deep and dissecting the movies and whatever. It's just nice to have somebody that, like, you wake up in the morning, you see a text come through or a Facebook message or whatever. It's like, hey, Shin Ultraman is delayed. Well, maybe that wasn't a good thing, but like, it's just having other people to be like, oh, they feel my pain.
Who knows what you're talking about? Yeah, it's nice. It's nice to see Godzilla news and be like, Jay will want to know what the new X Plus is.
Yeah. Well, and not to get too serious, but like, honestly been a huge fan of you guys on Yes Have Some. It is. It's truly like, I'm sure, I don't want to speak for them, but I'm sure like a Ryan Dole and a John Yerkeba and Justin and all these guys that have really joined up kind of with YHS on some of these expansion properties. It's just an honor, man, because you guys have done just some great stuff for a long time. It's a family atmosphere, and it's hilarious, and it's funny, and it's informative. And so kudos to you guys. And once again, truly honored to be part of the team.
Well, dude, I feel like you've been a part of the team here for a bit, even if it's like, you know, a little under the radar. But yeah, dude, we kind of been kicking around this idea of doing a Godzilla show for a while and just thought it would be fun. And like, one of the things that I like about talking to you about Godzilla stuff is like, I've been watching Godzilla since I was maybe four. Like I love it. It's my favorite thing ever, but I also don't like remember which human characters are in which movie sometimes, or sometimes I'm like, well, what was his name? And it's like, and then you are like an encyclopedia. And I love just like how you can just spout all of it. It just comes right out.
Well, thank you. And Toho doesn't make it easy on us by having, you know, obviously the same pair or the same actors play the same character.
Same actors in every movie. Characters. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. It's like you have like the five or six core guys. It's like, I think Akiko Arada was in this one. I think Akira Kubo was in this one, but I don't know what character he plays. It's a different one every time.
Mix them up sometimes anyway.
I know, but hey, that's why we love this. That's why we love Godzilla. That's why we love Kaiju. Yeah. Just the wackiness of the genre.
Mm-hmm. So clearly Godzilla vs. Kong is out, and it's one of those things where, you know, I've been a little nervous about it for multiple reasons, for the fate of the MonsterVerse kind of being a little uncertain and not knowing where they're going with that and or what they're able to do, but also just the fact that I'm gonna have to watch Godzilla and Kong, you know, two monsters that I both love and have grown up with, and I have to watch them fight. And but we've seen it. How many times have you watched it?
So I saw it at the theater, which was just a surreal experience. First time, and like everybody else, this is, you know, I'm not unique in this. It's theater in over a year. I saw it at 1:00 Central Time on the 31st, and then I went and I rewatched it that night. And a little peek under the tent, I sometimes do some really stupid things when it comes to my Godzilla viewing. And that night, you know, of any Godzilla movie, of all the 36 whatever Godzilla movies I could put on as kind of a break before watching it again, of course I put on Godzilla 2000, one of the worst.
It is one of the worst.
I don't know if it messed with my mind or not, but...
I could not, when you told me it was the night of Godzilla versus Kong, and then you messaged me about watching Godzilla 2000, and I'm just like, what the fuck are you doing? I was like, are you trying to ruin your experience over there?
You know, the day before I watched Godzilla versus Destroyer, so I was like, you know, I just ended the Heisei, I got to get to the Millennium, because I'm just watching some in order again, just, you know, especially some I haven't seen in a while, and it just... Timing was shitty. But so I've watched it twice in totality, and then I have gone back and watched a few scenes over Same. And over. I mean, there's a lot of scenes that are good to watch over and over, right? They bring the pain. So that's really it. How about you?
Actually, exactly the same. I was planning on seeing it at my theater here yesterday, and I'm looking up. I started to look up the times, and then I realized that my theater is now closed on Wednesdays and Thursdays here in my town. And I guess it's, you know, just because they're not fully open and they picked Wednesdays and Thursdays to be closed. And I'm like, why pick the day that new, I know there's not a lot of new movies coming out, but why pick a new movies are released to be closed? Yeah. So it's like, we're not going to be showing it until Friday. So I drove an hour and a half to Tallahassee, Florida, which is the closest place to see it. And I watched it in a Dolby theater, which was great. I didn't even know what a Dolby theater was. And, because we don't have that here, and it was really great. And and then I drove home, and I watched it again last night, and then this morning I watched, like you said, I watched pieces of it. I kind of fast forwarded through it and watched what I wanted to watch. And I'm gonna throw this to you, just like what were your first feelings on it?
Yeah. So should we? I mean, I don't know exactly what I'm going to say here. So should we throw a spoiler disclaimer on here? But just in case, as I'm
listen, this is going to be completely a spoiler. Okay, we're going to spoil everything that's happened in this movie. Yeah.
So my overall thoughts, it is going to be very no matter how many things I say that I had issues with or I'm concerned about, overall, an extremely positive experience. Because I went into it with one thing. I said, if they get this one thing right, then everything else is, I don't want to say it's irrelevant, but it's just not as important. And if they handle the actual, you know, the titular battle between Kong and Godzilla and have and really do it where it's visually appealing and where they actually have a conclusion to some degree, but everybody comes out, you know, in a good way. And I think they nailed that. My issues, there's some other things, and I know we'll dive deep into them. So overall, I came out of it very happy. I was entertained. I mean, that's an understatement. And there's so much good here. And I think they nailed the Godzilla versus the Kong. And hey, when it's the title of the movie and that's what we wanted to see, they did a really, and you know what? They didn't necessarily take all the easy ways, easy way out, you know, like there was a definitive winner. So
there was.
I thought that was cool. And that was a bold move on their part. And I don't know. So overall, my, if I had to say yay or nay, it's a big yay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I agree with that. And I know that Adam Wingard had come out, you know, not that long ago and had said there is a definitive winner in this movie. And I didn't believe him, honestly.
Me neither.
Because, like, like we already knew, like, Mechagodzilla was spoiled over a year ago. Like, there was Mechagodzilla figures posted over. We knew that was going to happen. I wish I hadn't known that. I talked to a friend who got out of this movie and they had they were able to stay away from all the trailers. They don't follow the toy news like I do. And they were like, oh, I didn't know Mechagodzilla was going to be in this. And I was jealous. But I didn't believe that there was going to be a definitive winner. And then I was like, you know what? I kind of think Kong's going to be the winner because, you know, I tried to stay away from reviews, but I did see a lot of people saying like, hey, Godzilla is definitely in this movie a lot, but this is Kong's movie. You hear that, see people saying that a lot, and that's true.
Yeah.
But then it's like, that's kind of a bold move to be like, let's make Kong the main character. You're going to care for Kong. The movie's going to open on a shot of Kong. It's going to end on a shot of Kong, but Kong's going to lose.
Yep. Yep. I agree. I think it is a Kong movie. And I don't think that's a bad thing. No. To be honest with you, like look, I love the 1933 King Kong. I mean, I love King Kong Escapes, but there's some other things, you know,
same,
but if you had to rank my top 10 kaiju, he's probably not on there. And so I'm not a huge Kong fan. I loved Skull Island. I thought it was good. But for some reason, I think this movie might have worked better. It did work better because they made it more about Kong. And a little bit of that, we'll talk in things that we maybe didn't like. I think there's a little left on the table for Godzilla. But of course, also with the uncertainty of the MonsterVerse, I thought that Kong might have been the safer bet to continue on knowing, you know, it's Toho. I mean, you should never know what's going to happen.
That's kind of why I thought they were doing it. I thought maybe their idea was if we can't use Godzilla, we can still use Kong. So if we make this movie Kong-centric, we can at least keep something going after this. Now, I don't know how they would plan to do. How would you make another movie in the MonsterVerse and have to explain that Godzilla's gone? Like, there's no way.
It's all in Hollow Earth. It's all Hollow Earth moving forward.
You could, just have a Kong movie, just Godzilla's up. Let Godzilla be the ruler up there, and we won't touch him. And then Kong's down here. That's not a bad idea. I'll still watch that.
You mean you get three or four. Look, hey, let Toho do some stuff with Godzilla. I'm sure it'll be wonderful. Give them four or 5 years, get a couple Kong movies out, and then guess what? Bam, Godzilla can be right back in it. And we can restart everything again.
At some point, eventually, Toho's just going to be like, I think this movie's already, I don't know what the what they're making so far, but it's already doing above the expected numbers. Yeah. So, and it's also, it's trending better. The critics and fans are, I saw like a graph that had what the critic score and, you know, fan score was for all four of these MonsterVerse movies. And this was the highest of all four of them so far. So, that kind of surprised me a little bit, but
especially on the critics. I mean, I get why the critics liked 2014, you know, and I I'm sure we'll have a whole episode on 2004, the MonsterVerse, but like 2014 to me was, it was a good movie. I think there was massive pacing issues. Still one of the best kaiju kills of all time when he blows the atomic through the Muto. But at the end of the day, like, I get why, you know, it was a little, I hate using the term grittier because I feel like that's been thrown around for like 20 years, but, you know, a little grittier and more grounded in realism. Whereas we know what Skull Island and King of the Monsters, not so much, especially King of the Monsters. And I get that. My critics don't like that. I was a little surprised. I think it's really just benefiting of timing. I really do. I think everybody wants a blockbuster. Even critics are like, hey, like, I haven't had a blockbuster in a while, even to like to talk about and like and get the eyeballs on my articles. Let's write something positive. So I'm not surprised. I'm surprised a little bit on the critics, but I'm also like, when I think about the timing, maybe that has something to do with and influencing it.
I think so for sure. 100%. It's like a lot of movie theaters are just now opening up. So it's probably, you know, this is probably the first movie that a lot of people have seen in over a year, you know, like, I know it was the first I saw like a flashback cinema movie in the theater, but that doesn't really count. But this is the first movie I've seen since Birds of Prey in the theater. And I know it was the same for Craig and Abby. And, you know, like, I know a lot of people, this is the first movie, my theater that I saw this in yesterday was, you know, they had some seats closed off for social distancing, but besides that, it was a packed theater at 4 o'clock on Wednesday.
Yeah.
People want to go to the movies. Yeah. People want to go to the movies, and Godzilla is benefiting from it. Which means we're going to benefit from it.
I know. And no joke, in the line in front of me was, if this couple wasn't 85, I'd bet my entire life savings they were. And I mean, he had like hearing aids, like bigger than my headphones. And then they came up with like one of those senior discount, like coupons. Like, you can watch any movie during the matinee, you know? And the lady was like, so, you know, sir, madam, what movie did you see? And the lady like looks at her and goes, I want to see that Godzilla movie. And I was like, amazing. I mean, I don't think at any point, you know, if it was just in the middle of a normal summer blockbuster season that they're out there, you know, getting pumped about Godzilla. But but hey, maybe there's an octogenarian crowd for that. I don't know. I mean, they'd have been around for 1954. So maybe they're bigger fans than us. But And so I have a question for you, Jake. So that was, I texted you this morning and I was like, I have some thoughts. I'm a little concerned. And here's my thought. And this isn't,
let's hear it.
Yeah, this isn't negative to like the plot or anything like that. But my concern is because of the timing, because of the positive juju that's coming around, out right now, after I watched it a second time in my home on HBO Max, a little bit of the luster was lost. And I don't think it was just because it wasn't, you know, on the giant screens and everything like that. But I think there was something about, it was the right movie at the right time. And I'm worried, is there enough meat on the bones outside of the beautiful visuals and the major main fight that in 10, 15 years, are we going to look at this movie as, you know, as it is and hold it in the same regard that you would hold a Shin Godzilla or a Biollante, or I might hold, you know, a GMK or a Destroy All Monsters. And I don't know the answer. I'm just saying, I had a little bit of a, I thought it was going to be a similar, like, yes, this is amazing. And it went down to, it wasn't as good. And so I didn't know if I was just caught up in everything about being in a theater. And like I said, right movie, right time. So,
I hear you.
Yeah. What are your thoughts? I mean, am I an idiot here?
Well, I'm not, I don't think you're an idiot, but there is something about seeing a movie on the big screen and then like coming home and then immediately rewatching it on your TV. It feels weird. You know, it feels weird, and it does kind of take a little bit out of it. I know you said that it wasn't because you were able to just watch it on your TV, but it does feel like, okay,
well, it might have been.
That was better. But you know, I think there's kind of two sides to this movie. I went into this movie expecting it to be like King of the Monsters. And in some ways it is like King of the Monsters. I feel like the biggest thing that let me down with King of the Monsters were the human characters, honestly. And there was like, I thought there were way too many, and it just wasn't as good as it had been in the other two MonsterVerse films. And some of the human stuff in this movie gets a little like grating, and there are times where I'm like, okay, but I think what's going to set this movie apart, and I think what sets this movie apart from the other three in the MonsterVerse, is that there's something about the way the fights are visualized that is unlike any other Godzilla movie. Like, I was, you know, we've seen, we've both seen 36 different Godzilla films, you know what I mean? And a lot of them are the same, or, you know, like visually you get the same kind of thing. And after three MonsterVerse movies, I know all three of them look different, but they're all still similar. But this movie, there's something about the visualizations or the blocking of however these two creatures fought each other that was kind of mind-blowing to me. Yeah. And I was just like, wait a minute. This looks way better than anything I've seen. Like, why does this look so good? Just something about the way these creatures were animated and moving. Yeah. And you get to see Godzilla fight in a way that you didn't see him fight in, you know, King of the Monsters. And I think that is, to me, is the best part of the movie. And I think that's what is going to hold up.
Yeah, I think if you think about it, in the MonsterVerse, they're the two most, like, mobile creatures. Because, like, Godzilla's fought King Ghidorah, which is a flying and immobile. You have Rodan flying. You have Mothra, which I know they didn't fight, but still flying. Kong, you have Skull Crawlers, which, you know, like, two legs and stuff like that. And then you have the Mutos, which are more, and like here you have, not that Godzilla is human, but like his movements can be simulate more of a, like a, of a biped and a human, and obviously Kong being a primate. I felt that gave you more options to choreograph better fights on top of the visuals were great. And of course, it's also like, I don't know, I think just Kong and Godzilla, people get more jazzed to see them kick ass.
For sure.
And when they're kicking ass at each other, it's great. But I felt like there was just a lot more room because, you know, hey, King Ghidorah can't swing on buildings and grab axes with you know, with Godzilla dorsal spine. Except flop his heads around and shoot you know, electric rays at people. But I think that added to it. But I agree. I think I actually, when I came out of the movie, I wrote down like my two or three favorite things. Number one was the visuals on the fight scenes in Kong and Godzilla specifically. Hong Kong, I mean, you have two epic visuals. You have the aircraft carrier battle, which I actually went in thinking that might be the show stealer, right? Because it's so unique and so crazy. And like, how are they going to do that? I mean, Kong on a, you know, in a, in the open sea, and then the Hong Kong, in which we knew would be stunning with the lights and the neon and everything. Both of those are two of the best visual battles I think I've seen in any Godzilla movie, any Kong movie. And I'm not, you know, I'm unapologetic about that. I think those two will withstand the test of time when it comes to visualized battles.
Yeah, no, for sure. And that water battle, you know, I had read, you know, Wingard came out at some point and he was like, it's like a 15 minute long sequence or something. And I remember being like, what? I was like, we're going to, I was like, we're going to spend 15 minutes with Godzilla and Kong on a boat on a movie that's under 2 hours long. I remember being like, that seems weird.
Yeah.
But I did not want it to end. Like, that scene is so good. And just like being, you know, just doing something different and showing Godzilla have a battle. How has that never happened before? Like, we've never seen, you know, other than like, you know, Godzilla versus the Sea Monster.
And Ebera. Hate on Ebera.
a couple random times, you know, Godzilla's actually fighting a creature in the ocean. It doesn't happen that often. And the fact that, like, you know, they used, I went into this movie thinking, okay, this is what I thought. I was like, there's going to be two battles between Godzilla versus Kong. Kong's going to win one. Mm-hmm. Godzilla's going to win one. Third battle will be fighting Mechagodzilla. That's just what I figured going in. And then, you know, Godzilla wins that water battle. Mm-hmm. And dude, whenever Kong comes out of the water and he pukes all that water up.
Yeah.
And then he's like kind of passed out and Godzilla like wades up to him and he's staring at him through the flames.
Yes.
I was like, this is the best visual I've seen. Yeah. Like, it just looks so, he looks so many. They did a, I'm all over the place here, but like the fact, you know, when I first saw it, when the trailer first came out and I was like, oh, Godzilla's the bad guy. Why are we making Godzilla the bad guy? That doesn't make any sense. But also I'm glad we have had a chance to see this American Godzilla kill people and be, you know, be like a badass and be scary.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, not necessarily evil, but beyond destructive, and a little menacing towards, you know, towards the other Titans, which, once again, I don't want to sidetrack, but was one of my other negatives is I hated how they kind of dismissed all the other Titans, because we leave King of the Monsters, they're bowing to him, and then, you know, we just see passing in the credits looking like a tournament bracket where him and Kong have destroyed all the Titans. I didn't love that. I thought it was kind of a middle finger to the King of the Monsters.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. Does that mean like those credits, is that like, do we think that that means that they're just all gone? Is that what that's supposed to mean?
I think it's what they are trying to get at. I don't know how that is. I mean, like I said, what's the point of him? Like, what had happened when, like, he accepted their servitude, if you will, their acknowledgement? Even, I mean, that was a cool scene when Rodan, you know, the star scream that he is, you know, comes over there and, like, I'm on King Ghidorah's side until he gets his ass kicked. They're bowing. I thought that was a pretty impactful scene. And then here, it's just like, all the other Titans are gone. It's just Kong and Godzilla.
Dude,
and
I didn't. No, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I said I didn't love that. I about 20 or 30 minutes into this, I'm like, is this a standalone movie? Like, does this need the rest of other movies? Because it a little bit kind of ignored that, which, hey, that's how Godzilla is that. I mean, loose continuity is like the name of the game, right? Godzilla.
They did it on purpose. They were like, fuck it.
Yeah, it's an ode to the Showa era. It's like, those monsters don't exist anymore. Yeah.
I kind of took that that whole bracket system, and I didn't. The way I kind of looked at that was like, you know, what did they say? This movie takes place 5 years after King of the Monsters. So I kind of just took that as Godzilla has fought all of these creatures since he's come back. Doesn't necessarily mean they're dead.
Yeah.
He's gotten to all these battles and he's won, and they're just showing us that they're both
undefeated.
I like to think that there's still other monsters around. That would have annoyed me too if I would have thought about it in that way, because I just would have been like, what the fuck? Where's the behemoth? Like, I think there's a behemoth toy that came out with this movie, and I'm like, he's not even in it, you know?
I know. Yeah, I was, unless they shot them all down to Hollow Earth. Who knows? They all went up to Antarctica and went down
they're
there.
They're all, but, I'm in my head, they're just all in hiding, maybe. Maybe there's some still out there and they're just doing their own thing. Maybe that was just their, you know, the director's way of like not having to deal with, you know, he wanted it to just be, that was one thing I love King of the Monsters having, you know, Mothra and Rodan and Ghidorah and just being like a full out Toho film.
Yeah.
But it was nice to kind of just like rein it back in. It's like, you know, even the skull crawlers and the war bats are like, you see their scenes in the trailer, and that's basically it. Yeah. You know, the war bats were cool.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I guess when you're trying to like cut your movie down and make it just short and tight and just Godzilla versus Kong, it's like, let's just get everybody else out of here.
Yeah. And I love Mothra and Rodan and King Ghidorah. You know, and like I said, I'm a Japanese kaiju over American kaiju, but I mean, I would be lying to myself if Kong's at a different level, right? Like, and you don't need to water that down. And Kong and Godzilla, that's all you need. And I did like the touches, like the war bat. And I mean, what a Ozzy Osbourne moment there with him ripping that
up. Those birds were really cool too. Yeah. I thought the birds that are in the Hollow Earth, like they got like an owl face.
Yeah.
But they were like, those were cool looking.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Now that I think of it, one of the posters had Mothra on it. and I'm messing with you, dude. I don't know if I had sent that to you or if I sent it to, maybe it was sent in one of the other chats with Craig and Abby, but I remember being like, oh, I guess Mothra is confirmed for this movie, huh? Because Mothra, like, it was one of the, I think it was one of the Japanese posters or Chinese posters that popped up, and I was like, oh, Mothra is coming back, but then nope.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been nice to have Mothra just come in at the very end and save some people, and it could have been like what Godzilla versus the Sea Monster was supposed to be, with Kong in there and Mothra. And finally, you know, we only had to wait, you know, whatever 1966 to now is. I'm kind of glad that they just did Godzilla and Kong. I'm with you on that. I really do.
Me too.
As much as I love total monster melees, destroy all monsters, all that type of stuff.
Yeah,
I think it probably wouldn't have made for the best movie here because it's Kong and because it's Godzilla. And even though obviously we had Mecha, it's still like, that's totally different. And like I said, we got to focus on Godzilla and Kong. And I think Rodan and Mothra would have probably watered it down a little bit because they would have deserved some screen time.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I didn't think that we don't have to get into this because it's another movie, but I don't think Mothra got the screen time she deserved in King of the Monsters. You know, yeah, like they both kind of, I think Rodan had a really, really cool scene with, you know, fighting Ghidorah and all that. But like whenever King of the Monsters came out, I thought that movie was going to be Godzilla and Mothra and Rodan against King Ghidorah. I thought that was what we were
building up to. Ghidorah the three-headed Ghidorah the three-headed monster all over again.
And then you know, Mothra is and Rodan are barely in that battle. You know, it's a very short thing. So whatever, do what you got to do. But so what else did you like in this? Let's hit the points. Like it's always hard for me to do a movie review and just kind of go through like, here's what happened first and here's what happened first. So like, what else is on your list of on the good stuff?
And there's a lot. But like I said, the main thing is obviously the battles with Kong and Godzilla. But after that, I actually thought, you know, and I know you and I agree on this. I hate how sometimes the human elements are dismissed in Godzilla and kaiju films because it's like, it doesn't matter. I came to see monsters fight.
Yeah. And I don't usually like that. Like it's okay sometimes, but like that kind of attitude is why we get shitty movies.
Exactly. Sometimes. It's not saying it doesn't exist. It does. And maybe too much. It's the attitude, right? The better the narrative of the human and how it weaves in and out with the monsters and how well acted it is, it matters just as much in a kaiju movie as it does in you know, some drama piece, right? It really does. And I would say that where this is not going to go down in history as one of the better human plots, I would say that compared to King of the Monsters, it was a lot tighter. It was thin. Yeah, it was it was a lot tighter and it didn't get in the way. And I like the A plot and the B plot. So the Millie Bobby Brown plot and the Gia going to Hollow Earth plot, they all connected through Mechagodzilla, one about his power source, one about him. Just what is he? And I like that. I thought that was well done to the point where it didn't like ruin the movie. I'm gonna come out of here and go, there's too much going on in the human stuff. It was like, it was the right amount, I would say. And I don't want to talk, I'll save it for the negatives, but I do have some issues on some motivation on some of the major characters. I also loved Hollow Earth. I thought how they handled Hollow Earth and the gravity, all that stuff, I thought was amazing. I thought Hollow Earth was going to be a couple shots, some pretty cool visuals, but not like a huge part, like just more of a, I don't want to say a Deus Ex Machina, but like just a plot point that helps them move things along. I thought they really fleshed it out pretty well. And there are some really cool visuals there. So that was another one that I really did like. And then the other thing is I loved Kong being carried on a net because it made me think of like King Kong versus Godzilla.
Balloons.
Another balloon. For something that didn't have a ton of straight up in your face fan service like King of the Monsters did, I thought little things like we had to really stretch, I thought they were good, but really the right amount of human characters, nothing I think offensive, and the visuals, and then Hollow Earth I think might have been my second favorite thing about this entire thing.
Yeah, dude, the Hollow Earth thing, the reason that worked so well is just because they've kind of been, you know, they've been teasing Hollow Earth since Skull Island. You know, like in Skull Island, they talk about how the skull crawlers come out of the ground, and you have a couple characters who are like, I'm telling you, there's a Hollow Earth happening. And then it's same in King of the Monsters. They talk about it, and it was just cool to see it. And I like how there's like remnants of a civilization that like worshipped Kong exactly the same way that there's a civilization that worshipped Godzilla in King of the Monsters. I thought that was very cool. A friend of mine messaged me and was like, hey, where'd that axe come? Who made that axe?
And I'm like,
and
the statues and the doors.
Like, who fucking cares? I'm like, did Kong's live there? And I'm like, I think people did. And I'm like, they don't explain it. And it doesn't matter. It's just there. I thought that was very cool. I kind of was wondering if we were going to get some sort of like flashback to like a bunch of Godzillas fighting a bunch of Kongs because they talk about the war so much. And I don't know if I would have liked that or not, because it seems weird to be like, I always want to think of that there aren't other Godzillas around, because I feel like when there's more Godzillas, it takes away from Godzilla. I want him to just be his own, you know, he's the top. I don't need another Godzilla at the same time. So I did think that was going to happen, but it didn't.
He is omnipresent and unbeatable, and he is a singular in nature. But look, since 1954, that's how we've been trained, right? That's the one thing that has never, I mean, you could argue with the time travel in 91, how they did that, but at the end of the day, it's still the same Godzilla.
It's still one Godzilla,
And so I agree that that is a bold thing for Legendary to change and really just shift the paradigm for all of us Godzilla fans. But it would have been odd. I don't want to say I would have disliked it. I think it would have been jarring. And I don't know if I probably wouldn't have liked it in that moment, but after some time, I probably would have. It would have been a cool visual.
Exactly. It would have been one of those things where you were like, no, but then you're like, there's a bunch of Kongs fighting a bunch of Godzillas at once. Like, okay. The girl, what was her name? Gia.
Gia.
Was her name. I liked that a lot.
Yes.
And I liked that, Kong learning sign language, I thought was very cool. I saw somebody post that they ripped that off of Congo.
Yes, the whole time I'm like, get him a glove.
But you know, there's some like precedent for apes learning sign language. Yeah. So I thought that was very cool, and that's a good like easy way to kind of you know, give Kong a little more emotion and like connect with him a little more, is like, oh, he can kind of talk now, or he can at least understand what this girl's saying. So, oh, and dude, one of my favorite parts in the movie was when that little girl said, Godzilla, not enemy. I was like, oh my God, here it comes. That's
the home run. No.
You know, like this movie's ending with a team up. Like no matter what, I've known that since they announced Godzilla versus Kong. I was like, it's going to end with a team up because they're both good guys. But whenever it gets to that part and she says that Godzilla, not enemy, I was like, I started like clapping in the theater. I'm like, yes, please let this happen.
It will go down as, I think, one of the most important lines in like the Godzilla franchise. And it kind of defines the, if this is the end of the MonsterVerse, it kind of defines it. And you know, one thing on the G, because I agree. I think, honestly, like when we look back 10 years from now, if we like rank our favorite human characters and Godzilla movies, regardless of the era, I think she could be up there. She was a star in this. And here's the thing. I've seen a lot of people online complain about kind of what you alluded to. Like he just knows it. It's just kind of like, oh yeah, him and her taught it. Like, how does that happen? There has to be a lot of steps for, you know, but that is a Godzilla movie. In a nutshell, from every era.
It's a move,
Exactly. Like, you don't have to have an entire movie explaining one thing. It's like, you just take it, okay, it happened, and let's not focus on that. And I'd say, like, the human element doesn't matter as much in those films. Like, that's kind of one thing that is true. Like, you don't have to explain. You can kind of just, okay, that happened, move on to the next point. And that's a perfect example, because I think it's a great plot point. And I didn't feel like at the end of it, like, oh man, I wish I'd have seen flashbacks of her teaching Kong how to sign.
You don't,
I
don't need, I that. Don't.
No,
we're, we don't need it. No. Well, like, we're, you know, people forget. Well, it's hard, you know, when you get sucked into a movie that's, you know, an hour and a half long or 2 hours long. Like, for us, it's only a 2 hour movie, but those people live in that universe.
Yeah.
And she's been spending every day of her life with Kong, you know, like, so it's like, we don't need to see. She talks to him every day. He's a very, very smart monkey. He's going to maybe pick up some words. Like, I don't need to see that. It's just going to happen.
Yeah. 100%.
No, go ahead.
I would just say, on the Kong, as far as like, you know, we open up with him in his containment unit on Skull Island, right? That he's like, I loved him javeling the giant tree there and trying to break out. That was great stuff. Once again, don't care how they built the containment unit over it. You know, none of that matters.
It also, I, you know, one of the things that I wondered, sorry to cut you off, but when I watched it the second time and they pan out and they show the containment unit, I'm like, oh, it looks very small. It doesn't look like it's over the whole island. Yeah. I'm sure that's just something that they... I don't think glossed over, whatever.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's like half of Isla Nublar. No, my question though is like, and this isn't like a negative. This is like, I would not put this as one of the things that bugged me, but it was so funny. It's like, we talk about things that they don't have a ton of explanation. Talk about a throwaway line. It's like, oh yeah, Kong, you know, left alone in this habitat has grown really big. It's like, that explains how he got so big. It was just a throwaway line of the
vampire. He just got big.
He ate a lot of trees. Maybe he's drinking some soma berries from King Kong versus Godzilla. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess
you're just supposed to, you know, what I think is you're just supposed to this is not the same King Kong that we're used to. You know, like, we're used to a King Kong that, how big is King Kong in the original film? Like 30 feet tall or something. Like,
maybe not even that
huge, you know? Yeah. And then in the Peter Jackson, I think he's a little bit bigger, but he's still not a giant, you know, he's not Godzilla sized by any means. So, you know, whenever Skull Island, that Kong is big, that Kong already is way bigger than King Kong ever is. So I think we're just,
He's a growing boy. He's a growing boy.
It's not the same King Kong. We're just supposed to know this one's going to be as big as Godzilla.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, it didn't bug me. It's just one of those things that we talk about. I don't need to explain it. Just let's roll with it. You know, he knows sign language. He grew a lot. The end, guys. Let's just go with it. Yeah, I mean, and the biggest Kong, I think, still is probably the Toho one. But let's just say the visual was much better than that King Kong.
100, yeah, for sure. One of the things that I liked that they did, you know, watching the trailer and going into this, I assumed, you know, something's wrong with Godzilla. He's going to be a bad guy. There's a reason, you know, they say that in the trailer. But immediately when Godzilla shows up, they're like, oh, this is Godzilla's first sighting in 3 years. And this is, we see the first time he's a bad guy. And they kind of make it apparent pretty quickly, like, oh, he's targeting this place.
Yeah.
We know it's Mechagodzilla. And they kind of like allude, they tease throughout the whole movie that there's a, you know, like, you get the eyeball and like, but I like that we immediately know what Godzilla's deal is. And it also, like, It makes you like imagine what Godzilla's thinking, you know, because it's like he's the smartest person. He's the smartest one in the movie because he before Mechagodzilla's not even built.
Yeah.
But he knows it's there and that's what he's attacking. And he's just like, Kong, leave me alone. I'm trying to do something. Just stay over here. Stay in your lane and let me figure this out. Yeah. And I like that about him. Like, and he doesn't. You know, like in the 2014 Godzilla, when he shows up the first time, they make a point to show, you know, the little like tsunami that happens and the destruction that happens from Godzilla, because he just doesn't, he doesn't care. You know what I mean? He's like, he's a protector, but he's also like, just get out of my way.
Protector of Earth, not of humans, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And I like that about him a lot. Dude, what else we got? So we move past one of the things that I thought was very silly in a movie that's full of things that is very silly is whenever Godzilla senses that Kong is directly under him, but in the hollow earth, and he
shoots the radiation
atomic breath all the way. And I know that scene's 100% because they're like, okay, we have to get Kong to Hollow Earth, and then we have to figure out a way to get him quick from Hollow Earth to Hong Kong for this fight so we can make it happen. So like, it's like a little bit of a device that, you know, is just written in for that, but it's like, who cares at that point? Like, the visual of Godzilla screaming at Kong and Kong in the middle of the earth, like, looking up at Godzilla, I'm just like, this is the dumbest
when you say it, it's so dumb, and it's amazing, but visually it was great. And I mean, honestly, the whole Hollow Earth, like, Kong, the free fall that Kong just, like, you know, he free falls from this, I guess, the sky or the ground, depending how you look at it, to the other ground. And he just, like, you know, he grabs a little bit of a mountain and slows himself
and he's down. Fine.
Like, he's fine. He's like, doesn't even, like, not even knocked out.
You know what other visual I thought was really cool, and I wish they would have leaned into it a little heavier, is whenever he's doing that jump, you know, he's doing the jump from here to this mountain, and he floats, and there's the mountain looks like a hand, and it's pointing, and it kind of looks like the whole, you know, the painting.
On the Sistine Chapel.
They almost like do the exact thing. And I wish I was like, just go for it at this point. Just recreate that painting.
I thought they were going to do Leia. I thought it was going to be Leia in space from Last Jedi. And he's going to float up just like her. But I agree. I thought they were going to do the Sistine Chapel. And I mean, we could have a whole just theoretical debate on that one and like what that would mean. Right. I mean, that would be amazing. But I agree. And that was actually the first thing I'm like, because at the time I didn't, right when they go to Hollow Earth, I don't necessarily associate there being a civilization there, right? Because we hadn't seen it.
Right.
You see the hand, I'm like,
exactly.
I'm like, oh, they better explain this. Or we're like, his ancestors just really smart and good with tools and could, you know, could sculpt their hands.
Yeah.
Elephants can paint, right? I mean, so to do it. But no, that's actually not good. Most of that is really bad to animal tourism and it's horrible. Like, this, right? Don't have elephants paint. Most of that is not. Some is done in rehabilitation centers, but a lot of it is bad animal tourism people. Anyway, but yeah,
it's your PSA.
I know, right? But I loved Kong in Hollow Earth. From him just galloping and running across to him floating on the rocks, to everything, to him killing some war bats, to the other little creatures in there, the little
thing, the little crab looking thing,
And I thought I just thought the visuals were great, and there were some, and the bird people that you said, the old looking geriatric parrot monsters, those look great. I thought Hollow Earth was. They dominated. I thought they did a great job. Silly or not.
I agree. I agree. Let's talk about this Hong Kong fight.
Yes.
So first of all, like, just the visuals of all the neon colors. Yeah. And it's like, you know, it's one of those things where I know a lot of people criticize, you know, Godzilla 2014 and even King of the Monsters with everything being, you know, taking place in the rain or taking place at night. And when I saw Skull Island for the first time, I remember being blown away at how good all the creature stuff looked. And like, it's almost entirely in the daytime. So,
daytime fights. That's like the biggest thing that kaiju fans argue about, right? Or gripe about.
I loved it. Yeah. I loved it in Skull Island. And to have the two big fights, like, you know, the first main fight is in the daytime. It maybe half of it's in the ocean, but it's still in the daytime. But a way to get out of that, like, darkness of doing it all at night, doing it in Hong Kong where it's like super neon and all these colors like reflecting off of Godzilla and Kong. It was just like, it felt, dude, I don't even know how to describe it. It felt like I was in a virtual reality, you know, seeing something for the first time and just being like almost overloaded. And the fact that you're seeing Godzilla kind of fight in a way, he runs a lot, which you know, you're not really
not a usually fan of
run. it's a little weird, but it's like he's doing a lot of running, he's doing like attacks with his tail, which he doesn't do often, and he's just being kind of ruthless in a way. It's like he's being it seemed like he was being harder on Kong than he is on Ghidorah and King of the Monsters, and just like, dude, watching, one of the best things in the movie to me is when Kong is trying to avoid the atomic blast, and he's like swinging through buildings and on top of buildings to just not get zapped. Dude, that fight is...
Well, that, honestly, Jake, that's one of the things I wrote down as a strong positive was in that fight, just how, and I hate to use terms like realistic because we're talking about, you know, a giant ape and a giant lizard. But how, you know, in the older Godzilla movies in the Showa era, you know, people could get hit in the face with the atomic breath and sometimes it killed them and sometimes it just was like an annoyance, right? But they made it mean something because he gets zapped with it one time, you know, and you can see the flesh rip off and stuff like that, and like it sear his fur and stuff.
He gets like clipped in the back of the show. I was talking to Craig about it and I was like, you know, on my second watch I really noticed that He never gets a blast from the atomic, and it's because he'd be dead. He'd die if he got hit with that.
And that's Kong's, you know, because he is a primate and he has obviously, you know, his opposable thumb and he's, you know, he can move around. And that was kind of one of his advantages is the ability to swing and get and really dodge and duck and stuff from the atomic breath. So I thought that was amazing that they didn't have just, okay, he gets hit a couple of times, but he's so tough and gets back up. Like, no, like they made the atomic breath mean something, which, you know, has not always been the case in Godzilla movies.
No.
And then going back to the buildings, I mean, the closest I can think of is if you go to the Heisei era, like Godzilla and Mothra, the final battle with the Ferris wheel, that's a nighttime sunlight. Not as dramatic. I don't know if that was in Yokohama or Tokyo or wherever that was.
Yeah.
Anyway, that I viewed it a little bit like that, where it's like they were trying to do some things to really lighten up the background, even though it's at night. But this took it to the whole, like a whole next level.
Right.
And it was almost, I don't know, I would say that it might have been better than any daytime fight. It might have been. It was that cool. I thought it was I thought there was gonna be like a vaporwave background with like the grids, and then like I don't know, like you know, David Hoff and a Ferrari come out, or Kung Fury or something. I thought that's what it was like, but it was awesome.
I agree, and you know they kind of did this thing where there's kind of two rounds of fighting in Hong Kong. In the first the first round happens and it ends with that, you know, the trailer scene where you see Kong jumping through the air with the axe and he's gonna, you know, he's coming towards Godzilla, and they kind of both knock each other out at that scene. And what I thought was odd is Skarsgård, I can't remember his character name,
Nathan
in the movie.
Lind or whatever.
Nathan, yeah. Nathan flies around and he's like, he says, well, I guess round two goes to Kong. And I was like, does it though? Yeah. I was like, it felt like they put that line in there specifically to be like, okay, Godzilla won, Kong won.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I was like, that fight seemed pretty equal to me. They both knocked each other out there. But then they immediately pick back up and they start fighting again. And this is what I was surprised about. This little, you know, this last little battle happens and Godzilla quickly has the upper hand. He's on top of Kong. He's like ripping at his chest and scratching his stomach up, and he's got his foot on him. And this is the, you know, the scene in the trailer where they both yell in each other's face.
Yeah.
And it's like, they did this really great thing with Kong in this movie where you can really, really see his like, you can see his emotions on his face, you know, and he really looks kind of scared in that moment. And Godzilla is like, you know, we get a scene where Godzilla spares Kong's life. Like he's going to kill Kong, and he doesn't, because he's like, okay, now, you know, I'm not fucking around. I'm going to go over here. Just stay down, you know? Yeah. And I was like, holy shit, there is a legitimate winner to this movie, and it is Godzilla. And I was very happy about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I thought that I agree. I thought the line that he throws out there about round two goes to Kong. I'm trying to think in King Kong versus Godzilla. I don't know I haven't watched the American dubbed one in a while. Isn't there a line where
is it from that?
Don't they say round two goes to Godzilla? Is that it?
Oh, I think there is something.
I might be making this up.
You know what? You might be right. I'm going to have to watch it afterward.
Yes. So, listeners, please forgive us. Our brains aren't where we should know every line of every Godzilla movie.
Right? Yeah.
I thought it was, because to me, when I heard it, I was like, okay, like that's just a really quick thing to say. Like, almost felt like I kept on thinking, I thought there was something in maybe it was the Japanese version. I thought where they say round two or something goes to Godzilla, but
maybe it's said by the guy, you know, in the American version, they throw in that guy who's like doing the news thing for some reason throughout the whole movie. Maybe it's that guy.
Yeah.
What a weird movie that is.
Yeah. I'll be honest. Like, I'm sure over time, as people listen to us, they'll understand like some of the movies that are like Jake's favorite, and then some that Jake thinks are better than maybe more like the masses think. And I'm the same way. I don't love King Kong versus Godzilla. And I know that's blasphemous to a lot of people, and I have my reasons, but at the end of the day, like it is not in my upper tier of Godzilla films. And actually I like this Kong or this Godzilla versus Kong better than the original 62, which I know is going to make a lot of people mad. But like I said, I have my reasons.
Hot take. First episode, hot takes.
Yeah, hot takes. don't get me started on Terror of Mechagodzilla. But and then back to your emotions. Kong has so much emotion. I thought they did a good job with Godzilla's emotion. I would say overall lacking, like I don't think Godzilla got as much screen time and is like fleshing out some of stuff with him as it could have. It wasn't like detrimental, but I wish we'd got a little bit more Godzilla just story and action. But facially, I thought they did a really good job with Godzilla. And you can kind of see what he's thinking when he is sparing Kong, when he is establishing the alpha, being an alpha. I like that a lot. I thought it was the most emotive Godzilla in the MonsterVerse so far. And I thought I dug it.
Yeah, I did too. And you know what's weird? Have you read that article that's going around where Adam Wingard is talking about the rules that Toho gave him?
No. I can only imagine.
Well, like, we know that that's something Toho does. They have rules all the time. But he talks about a rule that the one weirdest rule he got was that they did not want Godzilla to be emotive.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, why? He's emotive in, you know, there's a scene in Godzilla 2014 where he's kind of in the middle of that that battle with the Mutos, and he looks down at Ford, and he like looks at Ford, and he looks very like worn out, and he kind of looks sad. And I'm like, that is that's a very emotive scene.
Yeah.
And it's weird that that would be one of their rules for Godzilla versus Kong, but even it is. I ignored it because Godzilla is very emotive, and you know, especially that the last bit in the movie where Mechagodzilla is defeated. I know we haven't even talked about Mechagodzilla yet, but we will in a minute. But you know, end of the movie, Mechagodzilla is done. Godzilla and Kong like look at each other. Kong drops his axe.
Yeah.
Before Kong drops his axe, he has a look on his face where he looks very worried. Mm-hmm. He looks like he's like, I don't want to fight. I don't want to do this. I'm done. And, you know, they give each other a look, and dude, you know what I wanted to happen so bad? I wanted a handshake. if they wanted to just do the most Toho thing ever, I wanted Godzilla and Kong to do that fucking Godzilla versus Megalon handshake. I was like, oh, I would have loved that.
That would have been amazing. Yeah, that was I could see why they didn't do that.
It would have been out of place, but it would have made me happy. But
yeah,
I understand.
Maybe there's an alternate version. Maybe the alternate version, deleted scene. I agree. And I don't know if a motive to Toho is like, you know, dancing up doing the invasion of Astro Monster dance. But you could tell what he was thinking, I guess. He seemed more like an intelligent beast than just a destructive force. And that's what by motive, I meant that. And I thought, I thought they did a great job. And you knew what he was thinking without him and Kong, obviously. You know, this wasn't Godzilla versus Gigan. He couldn't speak in word bubbles. So this was the best that we could do. And I thought they did a damn good job on that. That's definitely one of the things that I liked.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so let's talk about Mechagodzilla.
So this is the things we don't like part, right?
Yeah, we'll get into. I figured we'll talk about this Mechagodzilla. We'll talk about what we liked about Mechagodzilla, and that we'll lean into the part of the show where we're talking about the shit we don't like. So, I was wondering how, you know, Mechagodzilla was going to be handled, and I was kind of surprised that there were teases right away. Right away, you know, after the Kong scene. Yeah, after Kong opens the film, it kind of cuts to like a commercial for this tech company. And away, if you know anything about Godzilla, you're like, okay, we're talking. And there's all these teases where, you know, the villain is like, well, we got a plan. And I'm like, what plan? What are you talking about? You're clearly talking about Mechagodzilla. So I think I like the way Mechagodzilla is used in this movie. I like the idea bringing in the Ghidorah skull and having like, you know, kind of a pilot happening, even though he doesn't have a pilot because that was a weird choice, right? To be like, these are bad guys. They're going to use Mechagodzilla to kill Godzilla. But then Mechagodzilla overpowers them and takes out the two villains and just becomes an evil Mechagodzilla on his own. That seems like a convoluted thing.
Well, first off, the fact that they use the Sarazawa name and it's the son of Ishiro Sarazawa is like Watanabe's character, I believe, right? I think that was his name.
This was, to me, the worst thing in the movie.
Yeah, I just... Why? Like, why just have his last name be, you know, Johnson?
Yeah,
like, it doesn't have to be Sarazawa. You're not gonna mean something.
They only even I think they say the name twice.
Yeah,
and in both times it's almost like in passing. And I was like, what? Yeah. I was like, what's his name? And they never mention it. They never mention his father. We don't get any story with that guy about why. You know, if his father spent his whole life, you know, sacrificed himself for Godzilla, why is the kid wanting to
do
nothing? We get nothing. And it makes it just makes that pointless.
Yeah. So the Mechagodzilla, I absolutely loved his, like, not just the origins, but like how he functions. I love the fact that they're, you know, they have the King Ghidorah skull is kind of the cockpit, and that can even allude to like in the chamber, the heart or whatever might be the other head or something there. Like that's how they talk to each other telekinetically.
Well, he says, I think at one point he says, you know, it was three headed. Here's one and the other's in there.
Yeah.
I think that's basically supposed to mean that maybe the skull of Mechagodzilla has Ghidorah's skull in it. You know,
yeah.
They don't address it further than that.
Yeah, and so I actually do like them taking over. You know, that's like, these bad guys, they've got it now. They have this, you know, this Sarazawa's gonna pilot the Mechagodzilla, and much like in Terror of Mechagodzilla, Mechagodzilla is always better operated with a human operating it. But Ghidorah's like, no, I'm gonna evolve and get smarter because I have this, you know, this living tissue and everything, and takes over Mechagodzilla. Like, I'm thinking here, like, we have King Ghidorah's brains operating Mechagodzilla. I mean, this is like the ultimate.
Isn't that Godzilla insane? Enemy.
Yeah.
That's like the craziest thing ever.
So that might have been like in the top three of my favorite things. If you go Godzilla versus Kong fights, Hollow Earth, and maybe like how they explained how to operate Mechagodzilla and Mechagodzilla. Yeah. But the humans around Mechagodzilla, we already talked about Sarazawa, but then Walter Simmons, the main baddie, like, I don't get any motivation. He just like wants to win for humans. Like, I thought it's a
little confusing.
Yeah. And it was just like a character right out of central casting. Like, it just seemed like evil bad guy. Like, he just wants to do this. I there needed to be more meat on that bone to really help flesh out Mechagodzilla. So those were negatives. But the big one for me, man, I hated the design. And here, I'm not it has to look like 74, whatever. Like, I love Mechagodzilla 93, and most people shit on that design.
I do too. He's cool looking.
I like it. And I like Kiryu to a lesser degree, but I love all of them. I'm not one of those that it has to look like the original or whatever. I believe me, like, you'll find out over the show, like, I'm pretty open-minded when it comes to creature designs,
redesigns.
I hated this one. There's just something about it that looked like it didn't, I don't know, like, maybe the goofy long arms. It looked like a Decepticon that I would see in a Michael Bay Transformers movie, like a big, like, Constructicon or Devastator or something. Like, I just felt like it was too Transformers-y to me. And it didn't feel as, you know, big giant kaiju fighting mech. So I might be in the minority there, but I did not like the design. It annoyed me. And I just didn't feel very Mechagodzilla, even though it did. I probably should have been aware or ready for it after seeing Ready Player One and kind of those bizarre looking Mechagodzillas, but that was just a negative for me.
Yeah. But you know what, like, something I said, you know, is that the Mechagodzilla in Ready Player One is a better design. It's a better design. And it is still, you know, that's not my favorite design either, but I'm like you, I've liked all the Mechagodzillas so far for their own reasons. But, you know, whenever Ready Player One came out, they had the rights to the American Godzilla, not the, you know, any of the Toho films. And that's why they created their own version of Mechagodzilla, which is based off of the 2014 Godzilla. Yeah. So it's like, whenever they actually put Mechagodzilla in this franchise, I'm like, it's the laziest looking design. His spines look stupid.
Yeah.
His posture is really weird. I hate his long arms. His head from the front looks really dumb. Like, it just, the shapes are bad. And, you know, I picked up the toy. I actually, like, you know, we recorded YHS last night or tonight, the night before. We recorded YHS, and I was kind of talking about the newer run of the Playmates figures, that because I picked them up, and it's the first time I've seen the Mechagodzilla toy in person. And, you know, we've seen pictures, so we kind of already knew what he was going to look like. But, you know, something I said in the other episode is that Playmates toys, they're very simple. The sculpts are really simple. You know, there's not a lot of detail, so it's like hard for me to judge based on the toy. But I said in YHS, like, I hope this is just a case of the design doesn't translate to the toys, because this is the ugliest thing I've ever seen. And then as soon as you see him, you know,
accurate.
Like, it's a pretty accurate figure. I liked the scenes where they're like having to test the Mechagodzilla and they're like breeding skull crawlers and like that's a cool thing.
That was
like
cool.
They're having to make sure he works. But dude, as soon as he pops up and you're seeing him for real, I'm like, he's weirdly skinny.
Yeah.
His metal just like you said, it looks like a transformer. It looks like there's no actual mechanisms that it's just like they painted it metal. You know, it just didn't work for me at all. And I was bummed out about that because I think the creature design for for these films have been pretty great.
Yeah.
Mothra, I was a little, Mothra wasn't my favorite.
I like my Mothra's chubby and fluffy.
Yeah.
I get where they're going with it.
I get why too. I thought the Mothra was just a little too far away from Mothra.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, how they tried to make her look more like a real moth. I get it, but to me that one didn't work as well. But like Mechagodzilla, you could do anything you want. And it's like, if you could do anything you want, you have, I don't know, four or five old versions of Mechagodzilla that you could base it on.
Yeah.
You have Godzilla, new Godzilla you can base it on. And it just looks like they went with the quickest, laziest sketch that somebody was like, we need it by this afternoon.
Yeah.
I hated the way he looked.
Yeah, it's a Ferrari. Yeah. It's a Ferrari idea and a Ford Taurus execution, man. It really is. Yeah. Like, I love so much about it, and I just, it really is. I think we should like totally like go with that. It was a lazy design, and there was just nobody that had ever watched a Godzilla movie, I think, put that together. I mean, it stinks. And like you said, Legendary, if anything, they've had a pretty good track record on the
creature designs. Dude, I want to see Do you know if they're putting out an art book for this movie? They usually do that for all the other films have an art book.
Yeah.
I want to see what the other designs were. Cause you know, there's always in those art books, you always get, you know, five or six pages of all the other. Yeah. They're all probably amazing. And it's like, what the fuck are you guys doing? So, but that being said, I like the fight. I like the Mechagodzilla fight. You know, part of me was like, ooh, please have a rainbow laser. You know, I get that too. That's just fan service kind of
thing. I was waiting for his head to spin around and there to be the force field and then Godzilla trying to touch it. That was what I was going for.
Well, I did wonder if he was going to pull the head off and there be some, you know, kind of the terror of Mechagodzilla.
Yeah.
He does get his head torn off, but I thought all that was really cool. It's really fun to see, like, as much fun as it is to watch Godzilla fight Kong, I'd always rather see them team up. This is the first time we've ever get to see
ever it. Seen it.
This is the first time we've ever seen it. We may never see it again, but the fact that both of them are fighting to get it's just weird to know that Mechagodzilla and King Kong are in the same movie. Like, that's just such a weird thing. And like, you know, you were talking earlier about the old Godzilla versus King Kong not being one of your favorites. I think the thing that's always been weird to me is just that the King Kong movies, like if you look at his own movies, the original or the Peter Jackson or King Kong Lives, any of those, like, he's just such a different kind of monster than Godzilla is. He just doesn't, like, I know it's the American versus the Japanese, but he just doesn't really fit in. It's just like such a different kind of movie, and I think that's always why Godzilla versus King Kong has been like, it's fun, but it's like an experiment, you know. But having this and then watching King Kong and Godzilla teaming up and like Godzilla, you know, powering up the axe so Godzilla or so King Kong can just destroy Mechagodzilla, whose brain is King Ghidorah's brain, is just like, this is like a Christmas present.
Yeah, the Godzilla and Kong stuff to me, like, I would say of all the parts that really got me kind of emotional, like really like grounded me, and like I wanted to be like, I kind of want to remember this moment, was seeing them fight Mechagodzilla and seeing them both, like one of the shots where they're both kind of on each side having, you know, battling it out. Because I mean, I know they're fictional entities, but still, to see those two, I mean, the two biggest names and monsters in the history of media. I mean, that is, you know, you're never going to see Wilt Chamberlain and Michael Jordan playing the same basketball team, or Babe Ruth and Barry Bonds on the same baseball team. Or, you know, there's so many things like you get to have, because they're fictional, you get to have these two team up. And that moment, which we've never seen you know, Kong's been around in almost 100 years, you know, 90 years almost. Godzilla's been around just a tick, you know, less than that.
Yeah.
They've never been on the same team. And and I just thought that was a seminal moment in kaiju film. I really do, because even though it was brief, it was well done, and it meant something to me as a fan of monster movies. And I truly think that moment is one of my favorite moments in any Godzilla movie, any Kong movie, any kaiju movie, just because it's the big two. And yeah, they're not just fighting each other. They're teaming up. And hell, they're teaming up against a damn good, you know, enemy and basically Godzilla's two greatest enemies put together.
Exactly.
I don't know. I just, to me, that was, the rest of the movie could have been total garbage and it wasn't. If you've listened this far, you know that it wasn't, for at least our opinions. Yeah. And that moment could have saved it, have been enough for you know, the price of admission there, just because that was just an important thing to me. And folks that aren't huge kaiju fan might not, they might, you know, that's cool, but like, it was an important thing. I don't know. I love that part.
Yeah, no, well said. I think you're right. And I think, like, I kind of went into this movie, I think, with my expectations not as high, really, because it just felt so, when you know it's going to be the last in the series, and you know, with each movie having a different director, and Godzilla, the tone of Godzilla 2014 compared to the tone of King of the Monsters is insane. It's like, that is probably the most Toho thing about any of them. It's like, you know, Godzilla 2014 is to, you know, the original Gojira as like King of the Monsters is Godzilla versus Megalon or something. You know, they're just so super fucking weird. So I was kind of like, okay, what is this movie going to be? Like, how silly is it? Like, I just didn't know. And when that first trailer came out and had that, oh, this is something I want to mention. When that trailer came out and had that music, that like, that weird generic trailer like rap song.
I hated
that song. And I was like, what is happening? And you know, the music in this movie kind of pleasantly surprised me, because I thought I was gonna hate it. Because 2014, but King of the Monsters,
great music. Got
the best soundtrack out of all of them, because it uses all the old music. And dude, I was on the way to Tallahassee to see Godzilla versus Kong, and I was listening to the soundtrack of King of the Monsters, and when the Mothra song came on, I was in my car, I was like, I'm gonna start crying listening to, you know, this Mothra song. And you know, I know the guy, they didn't use any of that in the new movie. They didn't use any of old, they didn't use any of the old Godzilla music. And the song that was like Godzilla's theme, to me, it sounds like a bad, like a rights-free ripoff of the Godzilla theme. It's very it's like they tried to make it as close as they can without, and that bothered me about it. But then actually being in the theater and seeing the movie, I was like, oh no, this music all works. Like, this is all pretty good. Like, I was into it, and it flowed way better than I thought it was going to. But yeah, dude, I don't know, man. I'm very happy with this movie.
I think everybody should be. I think all kaiju fans. I mean, whether it's enough to keep the MonsterVerse going. I know there's more to it than just was the movie good and made a lot of money. I know there's a lot of issues in contracts and such. And I don't know if I'm optimistic about it continuing. But I think everybody has to be pretty damn happy with the movie they put out there, with all the everything getting pushed back and just timing and all the weird stuff going on and handling. You know, it's the toughest thing to, you know, and using wrestling terminology, it'd be like booking Hulk Hogan against Lou Thesz. Like, you don't know what the hell's going to go on. And it's the same thing. It's like, it was tough. And I thought they handled it pretty damn well. And I think everybody, the worst reviews have been, you know, it's kind of a popcorny flick. And I get that for some outsiders. I'll take that.
I feel like what I've been seeing is I want to say like 80% positive. I feel like, especially from, you know, like from any of the Godzilla folks that I follow or friends with, you know, on Twitter, like everybody's it looks like everybody's loving it. And I don't know, I was on Twitter looking today and just looking at my own Twitter feed, and I was like, it was making me pretty like proud to see how many people were into this movie. And I was like, is it just because I follow the kind of people that I like, you know, and we just,
and have the algorithms like pumping those to the top.
Or is this movie just like, is it good? Did we get a good film? And I think we did, man. So I know we haven't really touched on like the humans too much.
Yeah.
And, but that was another one of the dislikes to me was, and maybe not really a dislike, but I feel like all the humans in this movie are stupid. Like they, you know, when that guy, when Skarsgård comes in, so the two villains show up and they're like, hey, there's a life force. We don't know what it is. We're not going to explain it in this movie at all either. There's a life force that's shaped like Godzilla and it's on a floor. We need you to go get that because we just need it. And he's like, all right, I'll go. Yeah. And then like the way he's just like, all right, we need Kong to come with us. And he, you know, he's like kind of lying to Kong and he's like, oh, tell him his family's down there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they're so like the amount of like, you know, talking that they don't even need to get talked into it. They're just like, yeah, well, sure, you can have Kong. We'll go get it. And it's like, these are clearly shady dudes. Like these are clearly
right out of central casting.
But I guess that's kind of a Godzilla trope as well. You know, it's like they're clearly the bad guys. And
if they were only aliens, right? If they were only from M Space Hunter Nebula. But
I was kind of hoping they were. Part of me was like, kind of hope Mechagodzilla is an alien creation in this. I didn't know. Like, I feel like with King of the Monsters was out there enough that I would believe.
Well, aliens coming. You know, Monster Zero, obviously Ghidorah's an alien, and it would give more motivation to why this guy really wants to build Mecha. I mean, obviously put in a lot of resources with this company to build Mechagodzilla, and I still don't.
Yeah.
Other than like just defend against Godzilla because he's a good guy, but we know he's not. Like, I still don't understand that if he was an alien trying to kill Godzilla to be able to take over the Earth. Hey, I know that's been done in like 7 Godzilla movies, but it would explain him.
Yeah, but it's like there's only like 2 ways you can go with Mechagodzilla, and it's either he's a bad guy and he's a villain, or he's protecting, but you know, Godzilla is the protector here, so he's got to be the villain.
And I agree. I mean, like I said before, like I liked it because they whittled down the human element from King of the Monsters, right? Which was the same thing. A lot of stupid people, but there was a lot of them, right?
And there's too many of them.
Too many. And there still probably were more than needed here, but it was a lot more like focused on these two missions, right?
Two groups, basically.
Now, the people within those two groups were idiots, right? How the hell do they just get into all these Apex guarded rooms and everything? I mean, I'm just like, that guy that runs the podcast, I mean, he's like MacGyver or something. Get in there. But yeah, I thought that they absolutely, like, these were not the most intelligent people in the world, but I was more concerned with some of their motivations, but at least they kept it focused on, I got to discover Godzilla, Mechagodzilla, and then I got to get this energy source. And what you said earlier, I think Gia and how well they did that character, I think makes up for a lot of the misses on that storyline. Like, you're right. Like, my brother died. I'm sad. I'm a down and out professor. Okay, I'll go with you and I'll lead a mission. I'm okay looking past that because I think Gia made that one a little bit more palatable.
I agree.
On the other side, I really like, honestly, like the Millie Bobby Brown, other than using them to discover some information on Mechagodzilla for us, the viewers, to watch it, that was totally... Like, I think they could have done more Kyle Chandler, like, freaking out, trying to find her, as opposed to just kind of, like, he shows up for a couple seconds. Like, I felt that was just a way to explain things to us and get us to the cool, you know, rancor scene and with the skull collars and stuff.
I think I probably would have preferred, like, you know, nitpicky, whatever. But I think I would have preferred if it was just Millie Bobby Brown and Kyle Chandler.
Yeah.
And maybe get rid of the other kid and get rid of the podcaster. Even though that guy who's the podcaster, I like that dude. And he played that character really well. But it's like, you know, I read a criticism about these Godzilla movies that almost all 4 of them have characters who are all like conspiracy theorists and they're right in every movie. Yeah. And it's like, do we need to let the conspiracy theory people be right all the time? Because in the real world, we don't like those kind of people, you know, mainly. So well, I kind of get
I'm okay with them being right because you know what? They're right. That's why we're making a movie about them, because they're right. If they were wrong, we wouldn't make a movie about them.
Exactly.
But who wants to watch that movie? Disproving random conspiracy theories.
You're right, for sure. But I like Kyle Chandler. And, you know, I thought he should have had a bigger role in 2014. Yeah. Or not 2014, but King of the Monsters. And I think he should have here as well. Like, they could have maybe cut down some of the other... I think he's a really great actor. And I was really excited for him to be in King of the Monsters. So I think it could have played better. You know, if they would have brought him in, you know, whenever you meet him in King of the Monsters, he hates Godzilla, you know, and he kind of goes through a little bit of a thing. So I think it would have been cooler if he was the one who was like, I know Godzilla's not a villain. You know what I mean? Because he firsthand watched that in the last movie. And I think that would have been a cooler character thing for him to be the one who's like, I got to find out what's wrong with Godzilla. So
yeah, I love it. Whatever. Love it. Let's remake the movie.
Let's do it. Yeah, I get it. You got it. What else? You got any other points or plots you want to hit on? Or
no? I mean, I think we talked about a lot of it.
Did we do it, Nick?
I think we talked about a lot of it. I mean, I have to go watch it again to find some new stuff. But I think overall, like, it was a damn good showing. My concern, Mechagodzilla is my biggest issue. But, you know, like I said, the positives outweigh the negatives. And my concern is when we talk about this movie, you know, 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line, does it have the chops to stand on its own? Do we still feel the same way outside of the few moments? Like, I'm 100% confident the Hong Kong battle scene, the battleship, you know, Kong and Godzilla together, those will be things that, you know, if we do a highlight package of Godzilla from 1954 on, those will make the cut.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, as the movie, are we watching this entire movie again a lot, or are we fast forwarding to the really cool parts that, you know, because the rest of it is irrelevant? I don't know. I hope I'm wrong. That's my only worry about the movie, like looking at it in perpetuity, is really just that piece. And so, you know, it's one of those when I don't know if you do this, but I always do this, after, you know, watch a Godzilla movie or any franchise, whether it's Star Wars or whatever, you kind of like, where does this fit, right? In your own personal rankings and, you know, the continuum of Godzilla. And, you know, this one is a hard one for me to place. I don't think I have enough data to really say, is this an upper tier movie for me? Is this a middle tier? I don't think it's going to be a bottom tier, worst case, but I don't know yet where it kind of fits in that spectrum. I think I got to give it some time to breathe, but for sure, I can tell you right now, it's damn fun. And there's some really important moments in it that will live on forever in Godzilla-dom.
Yeah, for sure. You're right. And I think, like, no matter what, if you look at just the MonsterVerse franchise, look at it as these four films and maybe not looking at the Toho films, like, it's an interesting journey from 2014 to this. But I think if this is going to be... I think if this is the last movie in the series, I think it's maybe the best one to leave on, because even though, you know, you get two sides, like there are Godzilla movies where you don't care about the human plot and you're just like, oh, this is destroy all monsters, or this is, you know, I just want to watch the monsters fight. But then, you know, you got some really good ones with some really good, like, heart and some wonderful stories. But this one maybe is not one of those, but I think it's one of the funnest we've had. Mm-hmm. And like you said, having that really, you know, if the last American Godzilla movie we get for, I don't know, it could be, you know, in between 98 and 2014, that's a long time. That's so, like,
a very long time.
It could be 10 years before there's another American Godzilla movie. It could be more, who knows? But to have the last one be the one where we get to see Godzilla and King Kong, you know, fight, make up, become buddies, and destroy Mechagodzilla, like, that's the one I want it to leave on. You know, if that's got to be it, that's what I want it to end on.
It's a good ending. I mean, you know, Godzilla's done a pretty good job. You know, you in the Showa era with Terror of Mechagodzilla, and you have the really dramatic Ifukube music, him waiting out in the water after he defeats them. And it's great. I think the Heisei era might have done it the best with Destroyer and him basically giving his energy to Godzilla Jr. And you see him rising from the after the Godzilla meltdown. And then you have Final Wars, which is just, you know, him standing tall at the end of that madness, right? And this one, if it's them, Kong and them, kind of like, the mutual acknowledgement, they both help each other. Godzilla goes to take a nap in the ocean and Kong goes down to Hollow Earth. That's a pretty logical ending point. I don't want to spoil this, but like, I don't think the MonsterVerse will continue, at least in the short term. I hope I'm wrong. It doesn't feel like it's going to, but that's from no, obviously, inside information. That's just my gut. And I'm okay with this being the final chapter in this American MonsterVerse saga, because it's going to be hard pressed to beat that. I mean, I would put it up right there with the Destroyer ending as being kind of this, like, iconic moment and a great way to end the series.
Yeah, for sure. I know, like, there is a Skull Island show coming, but I think it's animated, right?
Yep.
And I mean, that's probably, you know, if I had to bet, I would say it's probably takes place where Kong's still on Skull Island. You know, and it's going to be before all of this, and it won't have anything to do with Godzilla. It'll be its own little thing. So yeah, dude, I think you're right. I think if they do, you know, depending on how well the movie does in the next few weeks, we'll know for sure. If they do anything, I can definitely see them trying to just do more Kong movies, but I would almost rather, if they can't do any more with Godzilla, I kind of say put Kong away too. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if I want to see one without the other. Put them to bed. Let Toho make some Godzilla movies. Let's see whatever is going to happen over there. And
hey, let Toho make some Kong movies. Maybe can we get a rebooted King Kong Escapes?
Dude, we're going to have to do an episode.
They're trading.
We're going to have to do a future episode that's just about the other Kong movies. You know what I mean? And just and talk about King. I always really like King Kong Escapes. Kong looks... The Japanese Kong looks so weird, but Mechana Kong is one amazing. I love him so much.
Let's say this. Without Mechana Kong, is there a Mecha Godzilla? Because I mean, he predates Mecha Godzilla.
You're right.
7 years, right?
Right, dude.
So hey, the original, right? And we can even say the original Mogera from Mysterians predates all of them. So I don't know.
Hey, you know what? If they want to make one more Kong, American Kong movie and have Mechana Kong in it, then I'll be okay with that. You know?
Yes. I mean, I'll be more than okay with it. I'll be more pumped for it than anything. I just think that would be, to see that updated design of that would be just
amazing. Hopefully better than Mecha Godzilla.
I know, it's like Mechana Kong, the original Mechana Kong.
He's got a charm.
I hope they don't even change it. I hope they just make him exactly like
that. Oh, my God. I would love that. It just look. There's something about how silly he looks that he looks like a happy robot. You know, I like him. I like him a lot.
He does.
Dude, I think we did it. Did we do our first episode? Is this it?
and probably the episode where it's so singularly focused on one thing, right? Like,
will never happen again.
I know. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we'll maybe like when Singular Point comes out or whatever. I don't know, but that might even be hard to talk about in one. But
we might have to do a John Yerkeba type like episode for each episode kind of deal. You know, I don't know how we're going to tackle that one when it hits over here. I don't even know when it does hit over here.
I think
I've seen some people are watching it already.
I think it, and I might be wrong on this, so I'm not 100% familiar with the kind of Netflix rules and everything, but I know with like Ultraman, they had to run its course in Japan and then they could bring it over, but it had
then they could just bring it over here.
I think. And so I don't know where that puts us, but I mean, that would be great in the next couple of months to be able to check that out. What you've been sending me, the screenshots, the closing credits.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying it's same level as Godzilla versus Kong excitement because I'm not as big into anime. Like I said, that's just for me. That's not my sweet spot. I might be getting pretty darn close though, because the amount of just monsters in there, and it looks like they're doing these cool designs. I don't know. I'm pumped, man.
Dude, we don't have to do a whole thing about it here, but me too, man. The fact that it's a Godzilla cartoon that's kind of like 2D animation, and I think they do a little bit of computer generated. I'm not really sure, but it's just like why wasn't that done sooner? You would think like that would have came out a long time ago. And I'm not a huge anime person either, but there are some things I've watched. I honestly enjoy the Godzilla anime trilogy that's on Netflix. I do. And man,
that's Jake versus Jay round one.
That's an episode. I rewatched them recently, and I do think some of them are better than the other. You know, I think the second one's the worst one, and I got issues, but
we agree there.
But no, dude, like seeing all the, you know, bringing back Jet Jaguar, and it looks like Megalon's going to be there, and like all of these like secondary and, you know, characters that you never, you know, monsters that you never see that often, like they're bringing everybody back. And that's exciting to me. Like, it looks like Jet Jaguar might be like a main character in this. He's in everything. He's made for
anime. He's perfect.
He is for sure, and I love it. I'm super excited about that show, and we'll be talking about that for sure. Just, you know, notes for people who are watching. You know, we haven't really figured out a schedule here yet, and I think we're maybe going to be bi-weekly for now, maybe, and follow that. Whatever, it's going to be whatever we want. It's going to end, you know, if we decide, hey, let's do an episode tonight, we're going to do an episode. So,
yeah. And let us know what you want us to talk about too. I mean, if they're like, I mean, if they want to do a deep dive on a movie or they want to talk toys, they want to whatever. I have a feeling between both of us, we can probably talk for 6 hours on any one little thing. And it won't be just like this where we have a huge moment, a huge thing that comes out to talk about.
Well, I definitely want to do a toy episode maybe sooner than later. And that's how it's going to be. It's not going to be the kind of thing where we're like, hey, this week we're doing Godzilla versus Ghidorah, or we're going to figure it out and go take it, you know, an episode at a time. But Jay, you got any final thoughts here?
No, go out, watch Godzilla versus Kong, or watch it on HBO Max. If you don't want to go out, whatever. Hey, that's up to you, man. I love your line when you say, you know, just go out and buy a Godzilla toy. I'm like, hey,
yeah.
You don't have to go out. Watch a Godzilla movie. Watch a Godzilla movie. And you know what? If you do anything, pay attention to the human characters, learn their names. And I promise there's a few movies out there with a damn good human storyline. So right. Please do that.
Yep. I agree. I would just, you know, final thought, I would say if you can and if you feel comfortable, I would say see this movie in a theater. Yes. Because I feel like it's definitely made to be seen in a theater. The loudest, biggest theater you can. But that's it. You know, thanks for, hey, Jay, thanks for doing this with me. This is fun.
Hey, my pleasure. I mean, like I said, you're the heralded host and his highness of the Heisei and the head honcho of Hollow Earth. God,
I love that. I'm changing my Twitter name to that.
And hey, Kaiju Soshingeki.
Guys, thanks for listening. For Jay Key and myself, Jacob Walsh, this is YHS on Monster Island. Bye, guys.